Good morning. I think this is going to be one of the most memorable sermons. My name is Gordon Thompson, for those of you who don't know me. And today we're continuing on our journey through the Gospel of Mark. So we're now up to chapter 5, and today we'll be looking at 6 ways to manage fear as we explore the story of the demonized man from Gadara, or wherever he was from. Fear, just hearing the word, can be galvanizing for some people. It can trigger our fight or flight response. We tense up. Our pulse quickens. We're instantly ready to fight or to run. So let me say right up front today, the exciting thing is that we're going to learn from this scripture passage that Jesus Christ is more powerful than any demon, any spirit or evil thing. So in today's passage we meet a living, breathing, flesh and blood boogeyman. He was really scary, wasn't he? And we see how Christ with one command delivers him from evil and puts him in the right mind. We aren't told how this man came to be controlled by so many evil spirits. But we do know that he lived in a region where God wasn't honoured and his ways weren't respected at all. In fact, most people there had Greek culture and traditions. So part of that was that they had many gods. Now, these gods were little statues made out of wood or stone. And if they were more than wood or stone, then they might have been evil spirits. Now, call this man a boogeyman because most cultures have some form of boogeyman. This is a creature used by adults to control children by stimulating their imaginations and their fear. For example, don't go into the woods tonight because a boogeyman will get you. While this can be effective, I believe fear can open a door to control that evil things rejoice in. I'll just tell you a couple of stories about that. It might be hard for you to imagine, but once upon a time, I was actually 6 years old. That's enough laughter. And I was scared of the dark. So one night, as I lay in bed clutching my favourite stuffed toy, Mr. Wolf, I couldn't take my eyes off the doorway. The soft glow of the night light in the hallway cast eerie shadows that seemed to dance, flicker and twist. My imagination ran wild. I saw creepy, crawly things slithering up and down the doorpost, scuttling just beyond the threshold. And my heart pounded and I pulled the covers up to my chin, too scared to move. Well, the master made a bit of a fuss because the next thing I hear is my mother's footsteps coming down the hallway. She found me wide-eyed and trembling, pointing towards the doorway. Mummy, there are creepy, crawly things in the hallway. And my mother walked over to the light switch and switched it on. And with a reassuring smile, she assured me that there was no boogeyman, there was no creepy, crawly things. And as the light chased away the shadows, my fear began to melt. So my mother tucked me back into bed and explained that it was just a trick of the light. So feeling safe and secure, I snuggled back in the bed, Mr. Wolf under my arm, and went off to dream of adventures with Mr. Wolf in a world where shadows were just shadows and nothing more. So some years later, when I was in my early teens, a friend of mine introduced me to a lady called Sarah. That's a facsimile of Sarah, not the real one. Sarah was a stay-at-home mum who loved her family dearly, but often she felt bored in the afternoons because they just dragged on and there was nothing much to do. So she and her family had recently moved into state and she had a problem because she had yet to make any friends. So one day while she was working in the attic, she stumbled across a Ouija board. She used to use this thing with friends that she'd made over in Adelaide before she'd moved interstate. So curious about this and keen to find a way to pass the time, she decided to give this a try on her own. Well, at first it seemed like quite harmless fun, didn't it? Because she would just ask the board silly questions and then laugh at the responses she got. However, after a few weeks, the tone of the messages began to change. The new messages were darker. They seemed to come from a source outside herself, which was a bit worrying. Although sometimes genuinely frightened, she also felt a tingle of excitement. That is, until one day, when the board spelled out a chilling declaration. You will die on October 31st. Sarah's heart raced. She felt a cold shiver run up and down her spine. She tried to brush off the messages, a quirk of her imagination. I just made this up. No, the thought persisted, growing into a terrifying conviction that was real, that this was real. So she became anxious and withdrawn, unable to shake the fear that her days were numbered. Well, seeing his wife's distress, Sarah's husband, Mark, decided to take her to a local Methodist minister, who we'll call John. And John listened patiently as Sarah tearfully recounted her experiences. With a calm, reassuring presence, John explained that the Ouija board was not a source of truth, and it was important to place her trust instead in God. So he prayed with Sarah, asking for peace and protection, and had her renounce her faith in the Ouija board. Together, she and her husband burned the Ouija board, and with the support of a healthy church, Sarah's fear began to dissipate, and she learned to find joy and purpose in her daily life by walking in the freedom of Christ. So let's turn now in our Bible to the passage in Mark 5, 1-20. And let's learn more about Christ's power to heal and deliver. We'll also look at 6 steps on the way to help us conquer fear in our own lives. So step 1. Can I do this? Okay, so choose faith over the fear. Jesus arrives in Gadara aboard a fishing boat after crossing the Sea of Galilee. Now, during that passage, Jesus had spoken to the wind and the waves, and his disciples, because a large storm had sprung up, and his disciples were terrified. But then they were amazed, weren't they? Because, as we saw last week, the wind and the waves all responded to his command. Who was a man who could do something like that? That really had them amazed. And now Jesus was confronted by an apparently deranged man. Demons started speaking out of this man's mouth. Jesus was the only one not terrified there because he was in control. The Gadarene demoniac looked and behaved like a boogeyman, a scary monster. His deep inner dysfunction made him a terror to the community. He lived amongst the tombs because no living person wanted him near them. They feared what he could do. His behaviour couldn't be controlled. We heard that he was put in chains and broke out. So now he was an outcast. But deep within the blood and mud-spattered body lived a true human heart. A real person. This poor soul was despised and rejected, and he lived in constant fear, isolated and tormented. His situation was untenable. However, when Jesus arrived, the man's fear was met with divine authority. And it seems he may have recognised the possibility of help here because he came to Jesus. Jesus cast out the demons and freed him from his torment. So what we need to do is choose faith, not fear. You know, fear was one of the first emotions expressed in Scripture after the fall of man. Like Adam and Eve hiding in the garden, fear can cause us to hide from God. Adam said to God, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. and so I hid. Fear causes people to hide by disguising who they really are from others. Sometimes they even hide from themselves. Or they may pretend to be someone that they're not. Fear leads people to hiding from God, much like Adam and Eve did in the garden. But faith in Jesus brings us out of hiding and into his light. Maybe there's areas in your life where fear is causing you to hide. Decide today to bring these things to the light of God's love and seek his forgiveness. So the next step is to choose love over hate. The Gadarene demoniac was a man tormented by many demons, and he evidently hated his life in exile. He would cry out and cut himself with stones, indicating severe torment and self-harm. His violent and erratic behaviour caused him to be hated by the villagers, and it led them to avoid him and drive him out of town. However, when Jesus healed him, the transformation was so profound that people were amazed and afraid. This man, once feared and shunned, was now in his right mind, clothed and sitting peacefully at Jesus' feet. This miraculous change not only restored his dignity, but it also served as a powerful testament to Jesus' authority and compassion. Jesus' love for this detestable man is the key here. His compassion motivated him to cast out the fearful demons. How can love help us to overcome the boogeyman? Here's another thought. Some psychologists claim that the base of all emotions is either love or fear. The brain dictates that it cannot hold two contradictory thoughts simultaneously and that the most robust thought pattern will win. And this is alluded to in the following story. An old man is teaching his grandson about life, and he says to him, "A terrible battle goes on within me. It is a horrible fight between two dogs." I'm looking at a couple who have two dogs. "One dog is evil, and he is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." And he continued, "The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." And then he said, "The same fight is going on inside you, inside every other person too." Well, the grandson thought about this for a few minutes, and then he asked his grandfather, "So which dog is going to win?" The old man simply replied, "The one that you feed." And the Bible was again ahead of its time, because it says in 1 John 4, verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." So how do you pull your focus away from looking at fear? In your battle against fear, one of the greatest weapons that you have at your disposal is love. And you are loved, almost certainly more than you know. And once you realise how very loved you are, you can garner the strength to fight the spirit of fear. Fear would have you travel the road of unforgiveness and hate. Unforgiveness and hate. These two emotions bind you up in chains. Instead, shift your focus to understanding God's love, and then there won't be much room left for fear. Choose love over fear and be intentional about it. Look inward and feed the right dog. Look outside yourself and reach out to others. Consider showing love to those who are difficult to love. Step 3. Choose hope over despair. The demoniac's life was one of despair until he encountered Jesus. His transformation from a life of torment to one of peace and purpose is a powerful testament to the hope that we have in Christ. Just as the demoniac found hope in Jesus, we too can overcome our battles by placing our hope in him. I've known the face of fear many times in my lifetime. As a child, I struggled with being afraid of rejection. It manifested in the form of me believing that if I could only perform well, then I would be loved more. But whatever your battle might be, you can overcome it as you place your hope in the saving power of Jesus Christ. You cannot conquer fear in your own strength. And every day I had to choose hope over despair. How do we stop feeling hopeless? Perhaps you have areas in your life where you feel hopeless. Well, invite Jesus into those areas to bring hope. Ask him to show you resources you already have at your disposal. Pray about how you can be, those things can be harnessed for your good. You know, there's a story in the Old Testament in 2 Kings, chapter 6, verses 15 to 17, about the prophet Elisha and his servant. They are in a pickle. They're surrounded by an enemy army. The servant was terrified. Elijah prayed for God to open his servant's eyes. When God did that, the servant saw that the hills were full of horses and chariots, all blazing in fire, all surrounding Elisha. And these are the powerful unseen forces that we have to protect us. Step 4. Choose right thinking over toxic thinking. Now the poor demoniac's mind was filled with tormenting thoughts until Jesus showed up. And Jesus had compassion on him and delivered him from the demon and demons and restored his proper mind. We are called to renew our minds too with God's truth, replacing toxic thoughts with his promises. The demoniac story reminds us of the power of right thinking. In your battle to conquer fear, you will most likely find the conflict raging within your mind and emotions. No thought should ever enter your mind unchecked. We are guided by the Word of God to renew our minds to think full, clear thoughts. We renew our minds by reframing our thought patterns with the truth of God's Word and by replacing toxic thinking with God's thoughts. For example, replace fear with the promise of God's presence and feelings of unworthiness with truth, the truth of being wonderfully made. As in Psalm 139, 14. Regularly read and meditate in the Bible. God's word acts as a cleansing agent, washing away falsehoods, filling our minds with his truth. Do you have toxic thoughts that you need to replace with God's truth? Make a decision today to align your thoughts with what God has to say about you. Step 5. Choose clear thinking over problematic emotions. The demoniac's emotions were chaotic and destructive, but Jesus brought clarity and peace to his mind and heart. And when he did, the crowd reacted with violent emotion. The irony here is that they did not stop to consider who Jesus might be. Our emotions can be misleading, but when we submit them to Christ, we find stability and peace. It's important not to let our feelings dictate our thoughts and actions. Treating emotions as the ultimate truth can sometimes lead to false conclusions. For instance, if we don't feel love, we might think we are no longer in love. If we don't feel God's presence, we might conclude that God is no longer there. So instead of coddling our feelings, we should bring them under Christ's rule, just as we do with our thoughts. And by doing so, we build emotional resilience by not letting them control our perspective or our reaction to things. How do we manage our emotions? Maybe you're giving your emotions too much power and control in your life. Are emotions leading you astray? Decide today to bring your emotions under the rule of Christ. Examine yourself daily in the light of God's word and avoid letting your feelings dictate your thoughts and actions. Step 6. Choose surrender over striving. The demoniac's deliverance came when he surrendered to Jesus. In surrender we find freedom and power. Striving in our own strength leads to exhaustion, but surrendering to God brings victory. There is a profound beauty in surrendering our lives to the Lord. In surrender we receive God's power to become more than just conquerors. Our position in Christ frees us from being slaves to fear. This week, the best choice you could probably make is to surrender your life instead of striving to overcome fear on your own. How do we surrender? We need to learn to entrust our lives to God. Now, for some months recently, I tried stopping whatever I was doing 5 times a day. I did this to spend 1 to 3 minutes just casting all my cares on God and working at not taking those back again. Sure, I would ask for clarity for the things that he would have me do, but I was concentrating on letting go of the control of things that I could not control and entrusting him with the lives of my loved ones. We need to yield our will to the Lord, surrender our feelings to him, and entrust God with our lives. When we surrender to our Creator, we find true freedom. In the story we looked at today, we can see that the man that Jesus delivered wanted nothing more than to stay in Jesus' company, to go where Jesus was going, to abandon himself to him. However, Jesus instructed him to stay with the townsfolk. These people had found someone new to be terrified of. They wanted Christ gone, as far away as possible. But this man stayed behind with them and continued to testify to Christ's power and love. In doing so, he paved the way for these people to believe and to receive Christ with joy. This underscores for us the power of personal testimony and inspiring and encouraging other people. We just have to be genuine and tell people what God did for us. Sharing our experiences of overcoming challenges can also be a powerful way to help others. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the powerful reminder of your authority and compassion that we find in the story of the demon-possessed man. Just as Jesus brought healing and restoration to him, we ask that you bring healing and restoration to our own lives and to those we care for. Help us to trust in your power to overcome any darkness we face and enable us to share the testimony of your goodness with others. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.